This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
Hey, what are we talking about this week?
Live, die, repeat.
All right, this is episode 170.
Edge of Tomorrow.
All right, so normally we would talk about like underrated sci-fi movies, and we talk about a bunch of them all at one time. That's kind of how we've done it in the past.
What? You lost me there for a second.
So normally we, when we would do what we're going to do today, we would talk about more than one movie, right?
Yeah.
So instead of doing that, we've decided we're going to just kind of deep dive into some of these movies. We have a whole list of them. If you guys have underrated sci-fi movies that you want to hear us talk about, email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com, and we will watch it and talk about it.
Or it's probably on the list already.
It might be on the list already. Or if we don't think it's underrated, we'll mock and make fun of you on Twitter.
No, we won't do that.
You're right. All right. So anyway, so this week we are talking about Edge of Tomorrow, which it's better known by Live, Die, Repeat.
In the voodoo system, it goes by Live, Die, Repeat.
It does. And it's the 2014 Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt film directed by Doug Liman. Based on the Japanese light novel, All You Need Is Kill.
What is a light novel?
I don't know, and I didn't bother to look it up.
I seen that, and I was
I think it's like a short story type thing.
A light novel.
So, anyway, okay, so this movie takes place in the future where most of Europe is invaded by an alien race. Major William Cage, a public relations officer with no combat experience, is forced by his superiors to join a landing operation against the aliens.
Where did you get
Boom,
this?
Go.
Where did you get that description?
Wikipedia.
Ah,
it's a really good description.
That is not a good description of what happens to him.
No. It's a good description. Well, no, you're right. He gets shanghaied into being a
railroad shanghaied.
So. All right. So I have some production notes. We can talk about those at the end if you want. But one thing before we start, Brad Pitt was originally the one they went to about this role.
Yeah.
And he turned it down. So they went to Tom Cruise.
Is that in the,
it's in the notes there. I have to say, this is a completely different movie with Brad Pitt.
This would be kind of like 12 Monkeys, except Brad Pitt would be playing the Bruce Willis role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised he didn't go to Bruce Willis.
I think he was not available.
Well, the
he was
like,
making
they didn't
that
talk
one,
about any. I watched all the behind-the-scenes stuff last night. They didn't talk anything about that. Thing I found out was there was no script when they started production.
Right. So that's in here.
Yeah.
That's in my notes there. But all right. This, let's just go real quick. Why do you think this movie's underrated?
I think because of the name thing, the name controversy or whatever, it didn't really like grab an audience because Edge of Tomorrow didn't really sell this movie.
So Edge of Tomorrow to me is like one of those movies Jerry and George and Kramer and Elaine would go see on Seinfeld. You know, it was just kind of a generic, like, could be anything movie.
I feel like another Tom Cruise movie could have been called Edge of Tomorrow and make more sense.
Yeah.
Oblivion would
have
made more sense if they called that Edge of Tomorrow. Live, Die, Repeat pretty much sells this movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the tagline.
Right. And it was what they sold the Blu-rays as, Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah, it says here the home release. And if you go
literally
look at
the box when I bought it. Had Live, Die, Repeat in big letters, and then
Edge of Tomorrow
on the side.
It was Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow.
Because Liman was right.
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah. He was absolutely right. So Doug Liman did a great job with this movie as a director. Because you remember.
Did you
like,
watch any of the special features?
I did not.
Okay.
Do you
know why he did a great job?
Because he's awesome.
He doesn't like sci-fi movies.
Right.
And he didn't look at this as a sci-fi movie. This to him was a war movie.
Yeah.
And literally he talked about the scene, the battle at the beach is his Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah. His
D-Day,
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. All that stuff. Like they literally went back. he said, and watched Saving Private Ryan and all the older World War II movies, and that production, you know, designers and all that, went back and watched all that just to see what they could glean out and use for their movie.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Doug Liman. He did The Bourne Identity.
Swingers.
Jumper.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
And then Made in America. Did you see that one? Or American Made, sorry. That's where it's Tom Cruise. He's the CIA.
Oh, yeah. I watched
He
that
works
one.
For the
yeah.
CIA. That was actually a pretty darn good movie, too. Not sci-fi, so it doesn't qualify for this list as being an underrated sci-fi film, but definitely worth watching.
I don't even know if that would be underrated. That was just a kind of an art house movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it didn't get a big release. American Made didn't get a... This got a big release.
Yeah, this had a huge release. I mean, it did
really
it didn't good
fail.
At the box office.
Like, some of the ones that are going to be on this list, I think, failed in the theaters.
Yeah. I mean, it had a budget of $178 million. It made $370 million, so it made its money back and then some.
Yeah. I mean, you can call it underrated, but I mean, really, Tom Cruise movies aren't underrated. They're just not for every audience.
You know, he doesn't do huge box offices either.
No. Which he don't care.
No, I mean, he
knows that he's going to make the money off of home video releases and, you know, now streaming releases, because that's where it is. That's where it's been since he got into it. I mean, Risky Business got more popular when it was released on VHS and HBO and all that back in the 80s than it was in a theater.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's learned and, you know, over the years what works.
Yep.
And what he needs to do to make it work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that, so, I mean, a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, like with the armor that they used in the movies, was it was all practical.
Yeah, from DARPA or, DARPA.
I think, I don't remember what they said.
It's in the notes.
Yeah. Well, DARPA's like one of the companies that is trying to design real stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think they worked with them or
they
might
have worked with them, but this it was the production people.
It was designed by Oliver Scholl.
Yeah.
And his team, they worked with lead builder Pierre Bahana?
Bahana.
To develop concept art for several battlesuit options based on contemporary real-world powered exoskeleton initiatives, such as those supported by DARPA. When they chose this design, they built an aluminum prototype frame that had pivot points and hinges, which is really cool to think about.
In the behind-the-scenes stuff, it shows Tom Cruise there pretty much for all of it.
Yeah.
Like, he's there when
they're...
Oh,
I imagine so.
When they were showing the designs and that, he was there. Because this one, he wasn't a producer on. He wasn't...
No.
Yeah, he wasn't, but he wanted to... Because I think he is a sci-fi fan.
Yeah, oh,
and that,
he's
from,
a movie fan.
He's a movie fan, but I think like in he does a lot of like weird sci-fi stuff now.
Yeah.
And I think he was just one of the hands-on. So when they built that suit, he was in it like 2 months before anybody else was in it. And he was like practicing for 2 months.
Yeah.
And it because like they said the suits weighed anywhere between 50 and 200 pounds, depending on how much armament it had on it.
Okay.
Because most of the armaments were practical as well.
Oh, cool.
The angel wings, I don't think, were practical, but, like, everything else was.
Yeah, I think that'd be hard to get those to track the way they...
I think they had the armatures on them, but the guns were not practical guns.
Right.
But, like, the armatures would pop up.
Okay.
And that, but, like, you know, the whole thing of the armatures and that didn't, you know, wasn't practical.
Yeah. All right, cool, man. I don't know. I think the effects were cool. I thought the alien was cool.
This movie isn't like one where like every time I watch it, I enjoy it. So I'm not like, you know, there's some movies where I'm like, I don't need to watch this that often.
Yeah.
But like I've watched it a couple months ago and that, and then, you know, sometimes I'll do the Tom Cruise double feature of this in Oblivion.
I did that last week.
Yeah.
So, again, over the holidays, this one was, this and Oblivion were both $4.99
on
iTunes.
It's fun because of all the death.
Yeah.
It's like Groundhog Day or Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
Where when they die and they come back, the frustration that they deal with and then having to die again for whatever reason.
I liked when he broke his leg and he's limping away. He's like, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And then bam, dead. That was funny.
He didn't, and that's the thing. By the time it got to the last few times he died, he really understood why every time that that happened, he had to die.
Right.
Because once, you know, he's out, he's out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she told him.
Yeah. Because when she talked to him about the blood transfusion and everything like that. Spoiler.
Emily Blunt's character.
Yeah. Emily Blunt was great
the Angel
in this
of Doom.
She was so good.
Yeah.
So, so good in this movie. It's a strangely familiar cast if you look at them too. So
well, it's one of those casts where Doug Liman and the casting group like just were like he said, they didn't have a script. They had the first third of the script when they started production, so they didn't even know who the characters were.
Right.
And he said when he was casting people, he was just casting people that looked like soldiers.
Yeah.
And that, so Bill Paxton obviously looks like a soldier, and that, you know, being that he was in Aliens and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at that point and all that. And everybody who was in that movie, like, I recognized people, but I was like, the one who was most recognizable was Franz Drama.
Okay, well, but now, but in 2014, obviously, he wasn't, but he had done Attack of the Block, and that was it.
What?
He hadn't done The Flash
Well, I hadn't
yet.
Seen this movie until after Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. So I knew who he was.
Okay, so you have Brendan Gleeson, who's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
you know, Bill Paxton, Jonas Armstrong, who was Robin Hood on that BBC Robin Hood show.
Oh, is that who that
was?
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, who's really good. You have
There's
Tony,
so many BBC Robin Hood shows.
Right.
That
well,
you'd have to
that
tell
was
me
the good
which,
one.
Which so. One it was.
Anyway. And then, okay, so then Tony Way, the guy who was just in his underwear.
Yeah,
in the,
yeah.
Do you know who he is?
I recognize him, but
he's Sir
don't.
Dunstan on Game of Thrones. The drunk knight who Sansa saves from Joffrey making him drink to death. And then he... takes her away after the purple wedding.
Oh.
And then Littlefinger
kills
him.
See, like, he's one of those guys where you're like, oh, yeah. Well, like Noah Taylor, the guy who plays the Dr. Carter.
Yeah.
We watched Skyscraper this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah. It's like, that's the same guy.
All right.
Because he looks totally different. He's one of those guys who can chameleon pretty well.
You know, and then Griff, he was in, he did this movie and then Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So it's like, oh, wow. That wasn't a great second movie. But
he's job's a job.
He's in Sense8, the Wachowskis Netflix series. So I don't know if you've watched that or
not.
So I've only watched a little bit of it. I've enjoyed what I've seen. But yeah, I mean, it's a really like it's a really interesting cast that they pulled together here. And
yeah, literally, like Lyman said that they were just putting their pictures on the wall.
Yeah.
And putting the name of the character underneath it and, you know, developing the characters from what he was getting from the actors.
Yeah. So this is not the first Tom Cruise movie that has had it started without a script, right? Because Mission Impossible was that way. I have a feeling watching Night and Day, it was probably very similar.
I guess. So, it's been a long time since I've seen that one.
I also feel like Night and Day is kind of like what happened if Ethan Hunt actually lost his mind.
Oh, okay.
So, the other thing with Noah Taylor, I don't know if you watched Powers on the PlayStation Network. So he played Johnny Royale, the bad guy. And then he's Locke on Game of Thrones, the guy who cut Jamie Lannister's hand off.
Oh, okay.
So see, I mean, he's like...
Just all a bunch of Game of Thrones people, what's his name?
Just two, actually only two. So, but he was also in Lawless with Tom Hardy and Jessica Chastain and Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
So...
But I mean, even if they were in movies, they're not so recognizable that you're like, you know,
that's the beauty of it, right? And it's kind of like they're not even the I know that guy.
Yeah,
actors. He looks familiar
at this point.
But I
all
like
those
him
actors.
In this role.
I just go Game of Thrones,
right? Well,
Game of Thrones,
yeah. Especially if they have a British accent.
Westworld.
Yeah. Especially if they are a robot.
Wow. Yeah.
So. Anywho, okay, so
Tom Cruise's cousin.
Yeah, there's that too.
His cousin is an actor.
Yeah, I know. He's the
he was on Lost.
He was on Lost. Yeah. He's always kind of a creepy
kid. William
He was in Mission Impossible too. So
was he?
Yep.
Cause he knew somebody.
Yeah. He might have been on board with someone. So, the interesting thing is Doug Liman rejected the idea for the All You Need Is Kill because he didn't feel it was the tone of the movie he had made. And
it doesn't even the title.
And then Warner Brothers.
Well, that's a translation of a Japanese title too. So
right.
All You Need Is Kill in English doesn't translate well.
And Warner Brothers decided to change it to Edge of Tomorrow because of the negative, quote, negative chatter, end quote, about the word kill in the title. Which is really funny to think about. You think about movies now. If this comes out now, there's no way they don't call it, you know.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah, or All You Need Is Kill.
I think they would just call it Live, Die, Repeat.
I think you're right. So, all right. So, this movie was released on June 6th, 2014 in the U.S.
I don't even remember, like.
I saw this in the theater.
I did not.
And the weekend before, it actually came out overseas, and it did it only did $20 million in its actual opening weekend, but the opening weekend when it came out in the U.S. it did 102. So
there's enough Tom Cruise fans out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, it did 102 total in its run for in the U.S. and then it did 270 elsewhere. But I gotta say, like,
in China.
The visual effects were cool. I liked how he got into the Groundhog Day loop.
Yeah.
With it being the blood. With
the Alpha or the Omega.
The Omega.
Yeah.
I liked that there wasn't really a twist to it. It was pretty straightforward.
The loop
thing? Yeah. So, like, the idea of the loop, like, Oblivion has a great twist at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't even really see coming.
Yeah.
And this was just the straightforward.
I seen it coming. But.
Of course you did.
I figured it out. There was a certain scene where I figured it out.
Ah, okay.
Because I was like, if the moon broke apart, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
All right, fair enough. The deaths were great. The special effects were great. The aliens were great. The fact that it's like you said, a straightforward war movie.
Yeah.
That just happens to reset every time he dies.
It's literally that thing where it's like they couldn't have picked a better director because it would have been too sci-fi if certain people would have directed it.
Yeah.
And not enough sci-fi if other people directed it. And he respected that it had a sci-fi element to it, but he was like, I can do a war movie.
Right. Like, I would see Jon Favreau making this movie similar, a little more over the top, but definitely similar.
Maybe.
But then you have, like, someone like M. Night Shyamalan, who in 2014 makes this movie. It turns out, like, he's an alien in disguise. You know, it's
yeah.
You know, it just kind of falls off.
He never knew it, but he was an Omega.
Yeah. He was the Alpha.
Oh, there
so
you go.
That'll be the twist. But yeah, it's. Oh. It's just a really good movie.
Yeah.
So when he first is with Gleason and at the beginning of the movie and he gets kind of shanghaied into the service.
Well, I think it was the whole point of that was that he was on the news and Brendan Gleason kind of acted like his character kind of acted like he didn't like him anyways. Like the minute he walked in the room, he kind of was like, you know, oh, this guy.
Well, because he was kind of a pansy.
So, well, he wasn't a military guy.
Well, he literally tells him,
I served in the ROTC.
Right.
That's not the military. That's just military training.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, you know, and he's like, you know, I don't want to go out in the field. I don't want to die. He pretty much said, I'm a coward.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't want to do this. And literally tries to blackmail the general.
Yeah. Which was the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah. That was what pushed it over the edge there. The edge of tomorrow.
There you go.
So, but once he does that, it's like, you know, trying to run, getting caught and then wake up, maggot. Which that guy, I thought it was Tony Todd at first.
I did too.
I'm like, wait a minute. And then I'm like, oh, that's not Tony Todd.
That was not Tony
Todd.
I'm
like, this will be cool if Tony Todd's in it. But then Bill Paxton shows up.
That was an actor named Terrence Maynard.
Okay.
Maynard, who looks a lot like him. He was in Reign of Fire.
So he's British.
Yeah, he's totally British. But yeah, he was in Ring of Fire. He was on the TV show Merlin as well.
Oh, so, okay.
But yeah. So Bill Paxton's little speech as
is
they're
that
doing
one on our list. I didn't put that on our list.
Reign of Fire is not underrated. It's what it is, and it's nothing better than that.
It's underrated.
I just watched it on HBO like a month and a half ago.
I seen that in the theater.
I saw it in the theater too, and I own it. So
it was fun.
The walk and talk with him and Bill Paxton, and he's kind of talking about everything, and then
He tries to sell himself a few times, probably a few hundred times,
right.
I would suspect. But, like, you know, Bill Paxton's not having any of it.
No.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Because he's from Kentucky.
Yeah. Yes, sir, from Kentucky.
What does he even say? He says, I'm not from the United States. I'm from Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Not quite as high-pitched as that. A little more, like, he has a little more draw in there, but... I did like.
I was gonna say I never heard that accent from anybody in Kentucky, so I was like, "What is that?"
That's
accent?
A like Alabama, like parts of maybe Louisiana, northern Louisiana.
We'll just
type
help
thing.
You out. Yeah, I was like,
let me just help you out.
Yeah.
Anyway, like Master Sergeant Farrell, like I kind of wish we had more of him. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that would have been
bit
fun.
More.
Yeah.
What kind of badass is he that he walks in, finds the whatever that platoon was called?
J Company.
Thank you. I wanted to call them the Wild Cards, but that's space above and beyond.
Right.
But no, he walks in on J Company and figures out that they're gambling and makes them eat the cards.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome.
Because J Company was a bunch of misfits.
Jokers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yep.
They definitely were. The way... Tom Cruise sold the early Cage versus the latter Cage was really great to watch that progression because on that first drop, as the ship is literally like peeling away towards him and everything, and he's freaking out. And then you jump to, you know, the ship starts peeling away and he's like popping everybody out,
right?
You know, and they're like, wait a second, how do you know
well,
how to
the,
do this?
The one that's like where you're like, he scares the crap out of the one guy is when he's standing there and they're putting him in the suit and they're like, it's he don't know crap.
Right.
And he literally gets in the suit and he's like, I need this much more grenades. I need this much more armament and I need this. And the guy looks at him and he goes, now. And it's like, oh, okay. It's like he means business at this point.
It was funny, though, how he always tried to save Kimmel. From the plane crashing on him.
Yeah.
And then he finally realized, wait, I have to give up. I can't save everybody. Yeah. Was pretty great.
Yeah. He saves the group in the pit like multiple times. And it's like the last time he saves them, it's like he figured out who he could save and who he couldn't and when he could save them.
Right.
And it just seemed to work out for him.
Did the end of this movie at all feel like the last Matrix movie?
No.
Because they're like in a hovercraft going towards the enemy installation.
I don't feel like that.
You didn't feel like that? I kind of like just a little.
No, because nobody like sacrifices themselves the way that Trinity
did. Yeah, that's true.
I'm like the fight that you see is like a real war fight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people are going to get stuck, you know, and injured. And it's like when, you know, the two get stuck and they're like, well, you just go. Just go. We'll do what we have to do. And
yeah.
You know they're going to die.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know. But it was that thing, too, where you're like, is anybody going to survive?
Yeah.
Like that kind of battle. And it's like, no, nobody would survive.
Yeah. No, that's true.
And I think that the way they did it, you know, and it's like multiple watchings for the end are like something you need to do. Because the first time I watched it, I went, wait a minute. I'm like, how did they? And then I'm like, oh, I got it now. I got it. Because they literally jumped back to the beginning of the movie.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, he got to live the day right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a fun movie just for the fact that you, like, have to watch the details.
Mm-hmm.
And that the continuous stuff that repeats. And, you know, like I said, Groundhog Day is kind of a good way of looking at this. Because, you know, when he dies, he dies some vicious ways.
Oh.
And I'm just like, man. And that when he gets ran over by the truck and all you hear is the scream, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, when he rolls under it? Yes. Yeah, that was great.
Oh, God.
I like when he walks.
What was he thinking?
I like when he walked out on the training course.
Yeah.
And the big, like, metal arm got him the one time.
Yeah,
and,
like, he just knew, like, certain points, like, you know, I got to die at this point.
Yep.
And you know, and plus, like, the moment when he says, F it all, and just goes to London.
Yeah.
Like, just literally desserts and goes to London and is sitting in a bar drinking.
Yep.
And you're like, you know you're going to die again, right? And it's like, you know, he just had to do that. And it's like the different stuff, like, you know, destiny was thrown upon him. He didn't pick it.
Right.
And he's just like at a breaking point at certain points where he's like, I just can't do this.
Well, it was like in Happy Death Day or Groundhog's Day too, where they just lean into the fact that, like, okay, I got to figure it out. Yeah.
I mean, for him, it was completely different. You got to find the Omega or the Alpha, because it was like, you know, even that part when they got hijinked into thinking the Alpha was in a place and he realized it. And he tries to kill himself, and the one Omega stops him.
Right.
And he still figures out a way to get himself killed.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're catching on to this, like, big time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at one point in the behind-the-scenes stuff, Doug Liman was, like, saying, like, how it is a video game.
Yeah.
And, you know, but not a video game in the sense that he wanted to do a video game movie. But he said, you know, you get extra lives in video games and all that type of stuff. You restart. Yeah, you restart in a video game. And he said he felt like he had a little bit of a video game thing going on, but he said it worked more to his advantage for it being a war movie and not a sci-fi movie. And he said there was no way of comparing it to a video game because there was no points or nothing like that. So, but he said it worked to their advantage with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know. He was focused a lot on that beach, the beach battle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the same battle, but shot from different points of view. Plus you have the visual effects that are CG. Plus you have the practical effects with the suits and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, it was very fascinating to see what it took to actually shoot that one scene repetitive times even.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that, so.
Did you see in the, anything about how many different production companies, visual art production companies worked on this movie?
In the behind the scenes, they had like four that were like the major ones.
Yeah. They had nine total.
Yeah. The one visual effects was the suits. So that was just a team of its own.
So, and then
the fun thing about that was like, and I'd say if you have a chance to watch behind the scenes of that, is all the actors came in and they fitted their suits to them. And then it just shows them running around in the hangar with those suits on practicing.
Yeah.
And how Tom Cruise was pretty much pushing them all. And like at one point, Doug Liman said that he had them all running. Because he said, if I'm 50 years old and I can do this, you guys can do this too. And like, he said that they'd run from one end of the set to the other just to run.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool.
So, yeah. The other cool thing about that too is they did the CG suits.
Yeah.
And then they did CG versions of the people and together for certain scenes and stuff like that. That
but
was
most of
cool.
That was practical. Like most of the stuff with their suits was all practical.
Oh yeah.
Like even the scene where the hovercraft comes down and lands on him when he's trying to save him.
Right.
The first few times they show that, how they shot that. And the hovercraft was CG.
Yeah.
Everything else was real. And when the dirt comes up, they literally took like a blower fan underneath it and blew it up onto him. And I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break for to sell some stuff to you guys. Buy some shirts.
You had me confused or something.
All right, we'll be right back.
What?
Let's be honest, shall we? The t-shirt thing isn't going away anytime soon, so you might as well get a garment with some backbone, yes? Well, Here comes the Flying Pork Apparel Company to address all your shirty moments in life with honor and respect. Maybe we create a custom tee for your shirty office party or knock out some smashing jerseys for your shirty softball team. There's also plenty of wearable tee designs available on our website. Having said all that, have a shirty day and visit us at flyingporkapparel.com. That's flyingporkapparel.com.
All right, so get down with your shirty self and visit flyingporkapparel.com and get a shirt. You have a couple Flying Pork Apparel shirts.
A couple.
Yeah, they're nice. I have the one with the pickles on it.
Oh, okay.
That's my favorite. I wore that one the one day at the expo, and I had people walking up. Is that Rick and Morty? I'm like, no, man, it's just pickles.
Because of Pickle Rick?
Yeah. And it's like, no, it's just pickles. It's
Which
not,
I've never watched Rick and Morty.
I haven't either. It's on my Hulu watch
I watched
list.
Like one episode, and I was like, yeah, I could watch this show.
So every clip I've ever seen, I've enjoyed.
I watched one that was a house party one or something, and it All was right. hilarious. So I'm like, yeah, I could watch this show. I just Very haven't. Cool. Just like Bob's Burgers.
Okay, so this is a tangent, but Bob's Burgers, I watched the first four episodes of that show, and I turned to Wifey Poo there, and I said, this will not last the 13 episodes of its initial run.
Someone said that about The Simpsons, too.
I was, like, so wrong.
You're okay.
Yeah, well.
When it's around 25 years from now,
yeah,
I'll be like, hey, remember when you said?
Oh, and I will always remember. And I've still never gone back to watch it, either, because I didn't get it.
Oh, well. Not everything's for everybody.
Absolutely. Now, I don't bash it or anything like
no.
that. I'm just, you know, it's just not my...
Well, no, you don't get it, so why would you bash it?
Not my show. All right. So, back to him finding the alpha and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. Like, I feel like this easily could have been two movies.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't.
Right.
So, let me just... get that out there right now. The one thing I maybe would have liked to see is maybe a little less relationship, like falling in love with Emily Blunt.
I don't know that he
or
did
whatever,
or if he just was infatuated.
Maybe whatever it was that was happening.
I feel like the mutual respect of them two.
Yeah.
And more him because he had, you know, been with her longer than she had been with him. But like the mutual respect
right.
coming from them. Like at first... He couldn't care less. He was just going to her because
oh,
it was
yeah.
a goal.
Yeah.
And that, but like, I think just from her teaching him and, you know, them fighting together, they just mutually respected each other. And, mm-hmm. you know, he had feelings for her, but I don't know if they would be called romantic feelings.
No, but where I'm going with it is I would have liked to have seen a little more of him kind of figuring out who is going to live and die to help him at the end. As he figured all of that out.
Well, I mean, it's just that whole battle. Everybody was going to die
yeah.
on that battlefield.
Well, right.
That was the whole thing.
But no,
like, it was all set up.
Who of J Company had the skills, like, you know, the very special set of skills to get him to that point, right?
At the end.
At the end.
When he goes to the Louvre.
Yeah.
They mostly all did.
But
they wouldn't have went with him otherwise.
Well, I get it.
I think it was the whole thing that, like, you know, it's not a matter of, who has the special skills because you know they have the skills. They're all wearing those suits and there's no reason that they wouldn't be in those suits otherwise.
Right.
But I think it was the matter of who's crazy enough to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he has to tell the one, like he keeps finding out things about them so he can use it to his advantage the next time around and get them convinced that this is what we need to do.
Right.
Because what the second grade teacher, the one he knew the
yeah.
name of her, and
that's
what made them all believe him. I'm
yeah.
like, it's gonna take a lot more than that.
Yeah. So,
but that showed you how much of a like ass that the general was too. That every time he went and he said the same things to him,
mm-hmm.
it's like eventually wouldn't you catch on?
Right.
That if somebody comes into your office and says, "I know this, I know this, I know this, I know mm-hmm. this." Maybe you should listen?
No.
Oh.
Because there are people who are in power.
You might be crazy.
Who just don't think anybody else is ever right.
Well, you know.
So there's that. And, you know, the fact that they had the doctor's device in there.
They knew
Dr.
something.
Carter's
yeah.
device. And it's like, okay, there's something going on. And now all of a sudden this guy is back.
Yeah.
A day later when he should be dead on the beach in Normandy.
But they didn't know that because the day was resetting for them. So it's like literally when he comes into the office, he's like, didn't I just send you away a few hours ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so, you know, that would be the part where I'd be like, how in a few hours did you find out the name of my secretary? You know, her son got stationed the furthest away from the battlefield, type of stuff.
Yeah. So that whole relationship between him and Rita at that point too.
Yeah.
Cause you know, she was a badass warrior for who knows how long because she went through the same thing. How many times do you think that he went through what he did?
Oh, I'd say there was a few hundred
times. Like 365 where it's a day?
I mean,
a whole year?
I didn't count, like, you know.
No, you can't count.
Well, you could count how many times in the movie, but it's like there was times where he alluded to stuff that they had done that they didn't show.
Right.
Like, she shot the general at one point. And like he says that to her when they show the scene where he actually gives him the device.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, don't shoot him this time.
Right.
And it's like, wait, that happened? Yeah. And you're like, okay.
But see, that's the kind of stuff that I really like because they just kind of allude to it.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember the show 30 Rock?
Yeah.
So 30 Rock was always funny when they either just showed the punchline of the skit or talked about the skit.
Okay.
And then a few times actually like showed the skit, and the skits were never actually funny. But like, it's the idea of it that works.
Right.
And that's where I feel like they did a really successful job here because they never showed the real crazy stuff that they did.
Right. Yeah.
It was always. And Lyman was kind of like that in Jumper as well. Like he had talked about having gone to all these places and especially another movie with a character named Griff. Right.
Yeah. Griff.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the name of Jamie Bell's character.
Yeah. And, you know, he had talked about, like, oh, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. And Hayden Christensen had done all this stuff. And, you know, Sam Jackson had hunted all these people. But we didn't have to see it.
No.
It was better to not see it, not have flashbacks or anything like that.
You know, even the ending of Jumper when he meets his mom. Yeah. And you're like, you know, there's a story there. We just didn't see it.
Right.
But you know there's a story there.
Right. So.
And that's what, with this one, it's like, it was more just the alluding to certain things that happened and, you know, things we didn't see. But I mean, you know, there was at least, I'd say 100 that we seen because some of them were quick flashes.
Oh yeah.
And that, but I guarantee you he probably had been repeating this day for at least a year and a half.
How many times do you think it took him to roll under that truck without getting run over?
Probably like 5 or 6, I would say. That one's not that hard. It's like, it was just a matter of timing on that,
right?
And that, so well,
how so completely different movie, right? How it should have ended. He rolls under, they break his leg with the truck, he gets a blood transfusion, all of humanity dies.
All of humanity dies at that point. Well, that would be
or how it shouldn't have ended,
as
the case may be.
I you know, I think that it wouldn't have went that way because somebody else would have been bequeathed with the honor.
Maybe,
And that, because she had lost it because of a blood transfusion, but she had it for how long, you know? It's like, how many times did she repeat herself? And that she thought, oh, I'm going to use a helicopter blade as a sword.
Yeah.
Like, that's an awesome idea.
It's a really cool sword, too.
Then there's things where, you know, they left, like, stuff. They alluded to stuff where I was like, I'd like to see more of that, like, talking about whoever she was romantically involved with, that
who died. So
that was one of those ones where I'm like, oh, that would have been a cool like element to see, but then we would have seen her story, and it's like, and you mentioned that they're doing a sequel.
There may be Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat. Like, it was greenlit in 2016.
Right.
We're coming up on 3 years of that, so who knows.
Was it a sequel or a prequel?
Sequel.
Some people have mentioned there's going to be a prequel.
Well, I don't know.
I
don't want a prequel to this.
The only thing I would say prequel-wise is if they did Rita's character.
Yeah.
And did that story up till the Battle of Verdun.
Yeah.
Would be what I'd want to see.
But don't show the actual Battle of Verdun.
Like, show everything up until the point that she gets her blood transfusion.
Yeah.
And the last scene should be Tom Cruise running her into the plane. Yeah. And then that's where that story would start.
Sure. Okay.
That's the only way I would do that. That's kind of like Ender's Game and Ender's Shadow.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, where it's like you got the same kind of story going on, but at different points in time.
Yeah.
Because I like Emily Blunt, I think it would be kind of cool to see that story, and then we would get the story of whoever she was involved with.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing where he asked, have you ever tried to have sex to transfer this thing? And,
yeah.
You know, it's like that kind of stuff would be interesting to see.
Honestly, more Emily Blunt in our life is never a bad thing.
Well, let's just hope John Krasinski can get Marvel Cinematic to let them do Fantastic Four.
That would be the best thing ever.
Yeah, it would be.
Like, anyway. All right, so Christopher McQuarrie is the co-writer of this movie.
Yeah, one of the three that are listed.
There's a bunch, but there's three listed on here.
Right.
But, all right, so he forged his relationship with Tom Cruise on Valkyrie.
Yeah.
In 2008.
Yeah.
He also has written the last four Mission Impossibles, last three at the very least,
right?
And directed the last two.
Was it
Brad
last two?
Bird did
Rogue Nation?
No, the one before Rogue Nation.
Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol, yeah, because
okay.
He did Ghost Protocol, and then
McQuarrie wrote Ghost
Protocol. He did
Protocol,
Rogue Nation.
Rogue
yeah.
Nation, and what was the last one?
Fallout. Did you see Fallout?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So it surprised me, like,
wasn't
to see
that on
his
my
name.
List? That was on my
it is,
movie
yeah.
list.
I know. Oh yeah, you're right.
I bought it.
it surprised me to see his name in the credits when I was rewatching it, because I didn't even think about that.
Well, yeah, because if you're not watching a movie like we were watching it this time for
right,
the fact that we were watching it, and that. But it's like if you're just watching a movie and that, you don't really pay attention to the writers and
right.
all that stuff. So it's like, you know, when I seen his name, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's why some of the style is the way the style is in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of running.
Lots of
Tom
running.
Tom Cruise likes to run.
What is it? There's a Peter Willems YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Did a whole thing about Tom Cruise running in the Mission Impossible movies. And the
did he
amount,
just do like a supercut or
so it's the amount of steps that he takes.
Oh, okay.
And the box office draw. The more he runs in a movie,
the more people go see it. Oh, okay.
So it might have been him. Somebody did it.
Remake
it's on
to the Running Man.
Right. But yeah.
But I mean, he likes to run in real life, because if he told them, I'm 50 years old and I can run, you know, this far this fast, why can't you?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, by the end, Doug Liman said by the end of the shoot, they were all running.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, if he likes
hey,
to run
Firestorm,
and he can put
why
it
can't
in,
you run that fast?
Yeah, well, you know. That'd be a fun actually cut to see, like, cut him into the Battle of Wakanda with running with Chris Evans and
running past
Captain America and Black Panther.
But it doesn't even have to be in the Edge of Tomorrow suit. It could just be as
just him running.
It could be him as
he could be dragging his broken ankle behind him while
he's
running.
Yeah, he talk about a super soldier. Anyway,
well, I just like the behind the scenes stuff was fun to watch.
I'm gonna have
to
go back and watch that. Yeah,
because him in the suit, like, they have the wires hooked up to the suit to keep his balance.
Yeah.
But like when he slides in that suit,
yeah,
that's him sliding in that suit. Like, they started showing him like practicing doing stuff, like the whole belly run thing where he comes running and lands on his belly and slides. Like, they show that when they're practicing, and I'm like, okay, cool. I thought that was a CG effect. No, it wasn't.
No, that
was it
was him.
Actually him.
Very,
the CG effects
cool.
with them with the suits are the guys in the green suits holding them up and moving them around at certain points when they can't do something.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, this actually was pretty more awesome knowing what happened behind the scenes.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, like, I think this movie has found such a great life in the secondary market from the theater.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
between digital and Blu-ray
and home video. In
yeah,
general.
Home video in general.
To the point where I think if they
did
it. Did
they still call it that?
Well, I mean, it's still called home video or home streaming or whatever now. I think if they did a sequel, though, It would almost make sense to put it on something like just do it on Amazon.
Like
I
do
or,
a Netflix type. Yeah. Somebody
Netflix, Amazon,
it,
something
yeah.
like that. Or
Amazon
like
Amazon Studios.
They make it and just like one of those companies buys it to stream and have the rights. Because I think a sequel, people are going to be like, oh, what am I going to go see this movie?
Like I said, a prequel with her character would be more interesting, I think.
So a prequel should have been called, it shouldn't be called Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat.
Yeah.
It should be called Lived, Died, Repeated.
Yeah.
Because it's in the past.
Yeah.
The past.
It'd be interesting. But no, I don't, this is one of those movies that works as a standalone movie.
I'm perfectly happy never to get a sequel to this movie.
Yeah.
So
I'd be fine. That's like
I almost prefer it.
That'd be like trying to do a sequel to Oblivion.
Yeah. Or The Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. That one I agree on. Those were.
What are you talking about those?
Those weren't so.
There's
good.
Only one Matrix movie.
No, the two made for TV movies.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The two made for TV movies, you know.
The Matrix is great. It ended with him flying up into the computer.
If that would have been the way that they like did it and didn't do the two sequels, that would have been like one of the greatest movies ever made.
I've told you several times. My opinion of this is if they end the Matrix with him saying, I'm coming for you, and he hangs up the phone and flies off.
Yeah.
What is this? 20? It'll be 20 years. This year, 2019, because it came out in 1999.
Okay.
20 years later, we're still talking about how The Matrix is the greatest sci-fi movie of all time.
But now we just talk about how the first Matrix was a really good movie and got ruined by its sequels.
Yeah.
So don't do a sequel to Edge
don't
of Tomorrow.
Don't do a sequel. No Oblivion sequel, no Edge of Tomorrow sequel. A lot of these,
there's no way to do an Oblivion sequel.
Well, anyway. Actually, there's
you
a lot
of hell
movies.
With that thought.
There's a lot of movies on this list that...
Nah.
Would definitely be
some they've
we
tried.
Don't need sequels to. So, by the way, Chris McQuarrie has a pretty cool background, right?
Yeah.
So he was a writer on The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
He wrote and directed The Way of the Gun with Ryan Phillippe and Benicio del Toro.
Oh, okay. I remember that movie.
He's
vaguely.
He's uncredited for X-Men. And The Wolverine. He wrote and produced Valkyrie. He wrote The Tourist.
That one's not familiar.
He wrote with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
He wrote and directed Jack Reacher. Wrote Jack the Giant Slayer, which was actually pretty decent. Wrote Edge of Tomorrow. Wrote and directed Rogue Nation. Wrote or produced Jack Reacher Never Go Back. Wrote The Mummy. And directed Fallout.
It's a Tom Cruise thing.
And is writing Top Gun Maverick.
Well, yeah, it's a Tom Cruise thing. Look at how many movies Tom Cruise was in that you just named.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. 8. Fair enough.
So.
He likes working with Tom Cruise, obviously.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise likes
like
working
a,
with him.
A fine guy to work for. He seems to have a good work ethic in that. And
you never
like,
hear, like, you know, all right, just in defense of Tom Cruise, so we'll just get this out of the way. Like, Scientology, whatever, I don't care. I like watching his movies.
Yeah.
That's all I really care
like
about.
If they ever, if Tom Cruise ever decides to write an autobiography, though, I want him to write, the title should be, It Wasn't the Couch's Fault. Because of that whole Oprah thing.
Don't blame it on Oprah.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Anyway, I will say this. You never hear about him on the set being anything other than a lot of fun and
he's
super
a business
professional.
Man. He's just a businessman.
You never hear about any of the Scientology stuff or some of the other nonsense that kind of comes along with his reputation or... his beliefs.
Right.
So, whatever. I do enjoy, like I said, I do enjoy watching his movies. And I'm really interested to see how Top Gun Maverick turns out. Because Top Gun is another movie that wasn't exactly screaming for a sequel.
No. I mean, it makes sense what they're talking about, what they're doing in it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like, you know, it's just that... disease called nostalgia.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Iron Eagle didn't need a sequel.
No, and they didn't need to kill off the main character in the beginning of
it. Well, Jason Gedrick was, you know, off making really bad 90s TV shows.
Was he?
Yeah.
When that happened?
Yeah, he'd gone off and started, like, making TV shows at that point. And they're like, oh, we don't want a TV actor back.
Because
remember, that was back in the day where you were a movie actor or you were a TV actor. And until Bruce Willis made Die Hard, neither the twain shall meet.
Right.
So, wow, this is an interesting cast.
What, of this movie?
No, of Maverick, sorry.
Oh.
It's Tom Cruise, Miles Teller, Val Kilmer, Jennifer Connelly, Glenn Powell, John Hamm, Ed Harris. That right there is like, okay.
They didn't bring back, what's her name? The girl from the first movie. I can't remember the actress's name.
There's a reason for that.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, Kelly McGillis, but no. Yeah. Like, age hit her like a bag of bricks fell on her head.
Wow, that's not nice.
It's just what happened. Like,
look at Val Kilmer, though. He's gone up and down the weight scale.
Like, I get that, but like, you know, I'm just saying, like, is Tom Skerritt still alive?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
If Tom Skerritt was still alive, he should definitely be in there.
Was Principal Strickland in it? He's still alive.
No, he died, didn't he? Yeah. So,
anyway. Is Tom Skerritt still alive?
I don't know. I don't care.
Wow. You ask and then you're like, oh, no.
Right. But anywho.
When is that supposed to hit? I mean, is that this year or
2020?
Tom Skerritt is still alive.
Okay. Then I fully expect Viper.
But he would be totally retired from the Navy at this point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well. Anything else to
Viper.
Add?
Viper. That's his name. Viper.
All right. Do you have anything else?
You think that Anthony Edwards will be back?
Do what?
You think Anthony Edwards will be back? Talk to me, Goose. Talk to me.
Six. Bogey.
The crazy thing is going back and looking at the cast of the original one.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Ironside. They should bring him back.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Rick Rossovich.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
That's
you know, that's my favorite line in the entire movie is where he leans over and he goes, Slider, you stink.
Yeah.
I love just doing that to people.
Meg Ryan.
Yep.
Adrian Pastor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Do you have anything else about Edge of Tomorrow?
No, I got hit by the nostalgia
bug. I know you did. The nostalgia bug bit you on the ass.
Yeah.
All right. So if you guys haven't seen this, like, one, go watch it. Why did you listen to this if you hadn't seen this? Because we just ruined the movie for you.
I don't feel like you can spoil this movie because there's enough craziness in this movie.
It's been out
that I could be like, oh, yeah, that time when he dies.
I mean, we obviously didn't talk about, like, every death or anything like that because I don't want to do
even
that either.
Yeah, I was going to say, even talking about, like, these movies
But there's also, you have to see
how some
of this
happens. There's a reason why
we
talk about it.
Right.
But, I mean, it's not like we're going to spoil the movie.
No.
Not totally spoil the movie.
No. But
some of these movies are 30 years old, though. Like, if we spoil it, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Whoops.
But if a movie's 5 years old, I'm not going to try and spoil everything in the movie.
Yeah.
This movie's good enough. Go watch it.
If we
said anything about him dying and getting run over by a truck, wait for it. Because it's like, oh, man.
When Anthony Anderson shows up and he's like,
no, like,
you know.
Literally, I know when the truck thing's happening and I still cringe.
Oh, every time.
Yeah. Because his scream. It's like his scream and then his scream when he gets hit in the training room when he gets hit the one time against the wall.
Oh yeah.
And he's dead.
Yeah.
And you just hear the scream when he hits the wall and it's like, ooh, man.
It's the mix of the scream and the crunch.
Yes.
So
yeah.
All right. I'm gonna leave it at that. All right.
Just watch this movie for Bill Paxton's performance is awesome.
Bill Paxton is great. Like the supporting cast in this is what really makes this movie special. So, I mean, Tom Cruise is really good in it, don't get me wrong, but it is 100% J Company and Emily Blunt and Bill Paxton and Dr. Carter, Noah Taylor is a lot of fun.
Just a good cast.
It is. It was a well-casted movie.
Yeah.
Well done, Doug Liman. Thank you.
Thank you, Game of Thrones, for letting these people all be in the same movie. They probably all were dead at that point.
Probably, you know. So, April will be here soon. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all right, guys, on that note, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we shall talk to you next week.
What are we talking about next week?
No idea.
All right, we'll figure it out and be back later.
Bye.
Bye. The Infest Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.